Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody.
Praise God, praise God. Oh, it's a wonderful day in Christ. Why? Because we're approaching the end of the year. That means thus far we have made it to the end of the year because of God's grace and mercy. It's a wonderful day because God has given us his breath and his strength. It's a wonderful day because we can celebrate. We can celebrate because God loves us. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Yes, as he said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Let us go in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you right now for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. There's so much to be had in being a servant of yours, a child of yours, Father God. So much, Father God. Your forgiveness of our inequities. You redeeming us from our destruction. You healing our body from all diseases. You, Father God, putting in our mouth a good thing so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And, oh, we don't have to lose confidence in our rewards, Father God, because there is great recompense in it, Father. Confidence that, Father God, that you will continue to be with us, Father God, to the end of time. Father God, we know this because you told us in your word that you would never leave us or forsake us. You told us in your word, Father God, that your love never fails. So we have someone that we know we can count on every day of our lives. Father God, as I get ready to share the knowledge and wisdom that you have imparted on me through the Holy Spirit, I thank you, Father God, that every one of the sound of my voice, Father God, will receive in their heart what you need them to have to move forward in their journey. Father God, they will begin to move in a way, Father God, that they never moved before. That even though this year has been testing and challenging in so many ways, Father God, you're still blessing us. And I thank you, Father God, you continue to allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate your scriptures to us so that we gather and mature in the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding and the ability of discernment. So as we go forward, Father God, we can be more victorious in you. We can believe, Father God, when we can't see. We can move, Father God, when we think we can't go forward. We can hope, Father God, when we can't see the future because we know that you're already there. So I thank you, Father God, that you continue to show me, Father God, what is needed, Father, for me to be able to give a deliverance, Father God, of your word as you have given it to me. Let me decrease and let you increase, Holy Spirit, so that I impart, Father God, the truth of your wisdom. For we know, Father God, you are the way, the truth, and the light. And the light that you give is full of abundance. Let us, Father God, be able to reap the reward, Father God, of your abundance. So I praise you, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for hearing my prayer, listening to my prayer, and hallelujah, answering my prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. It's a beautiful day because this is the opportunity for us as we close out this year to see ourselves in Jesus' light, to see ourselves as being the best we can be, see ourselves moving forward and walking in that victory. Amen, amen. Well, let's look at the quotes today. You can change your world by changing your words. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Joel Osteen. No amount of self-improvement can make up for lack of self-acceptance. We cannot become who God wants by remaining who we are. Don't wait for perfection before you begin to embrace the beauty of imperfection. God loves you for who you are. Why don't you? And the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And Ephesians 4:24 tells us, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. And Romans 12:2 says, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, I found a few stories that I like, and I think it gives a lot of merit to valuing what is important. It's about a puppy. A shop owner places a sign above the door and says, puppy for sale. Signs like this always have a way of attracting young children. And to no surprise, a boy saw the sign and approached the owner. He said, sir, how much are you going to sell that puppy for? He asked. The store owner replied, anywhere from $30 to $50. The little boy pulled out some change from his pocket. I have $2.37. He said, can I please look at them? Store owner smiled and said, sure. Out of the kennel came the mother named Lady, who ran down the aisle of the shop, followed by five tiny little balls of fur. One puppy was lagging considerably behind. Immediately, the little boy singled out the lagging, limping puppy and said, what's wrong with that little puppy? Shop owner explained that the veterinarian had examined the little puppy and had discovered it didn't have a hip socket. It would have, it would always limp, it would always be lame. The little boy guy became excited. That's the puppy I want. The owner said, no, you don't want that by that little puppy. If you really want it, I'll give you, give it to you. Give him to you. The little boy got so upset. He looked straight in the store owner's eye and pointed his finger and said, I don't want you to give it to me. I like that little dog. The little dog is worth every bit much as the other ponies. I'll pay you full price. In fact, I'll give you this $2.37 now and 50 cents every month until I pay you off. The store owner countered, you really don't want to buy that little puppy. He is never going to be able to run and jump and play with you like the other puppies. To his surprise, the little boy reached down and rolled up his pants leg, revealing a bad, twisted, crippled left leg supported by a big metal brace. And he looked at the store owner and softly replied, well, I don't run so well myself, and a little puppy will need someone who understands and accepts him just the way he is. You see, the moral of the story is, isn't it that amazing how this child had a mind of Christ? For you see, like the child, he saw the puppy was compromised, unaccepted, misunderstood, needed salvation. This young child who walked in love was willing to take the puppy in, to love and take care of him. The young boy saw the puppy's true worth, not the way the world values him, but how his heart felt for him, as being just as important as the other puppies. This is how Christ saw us. Even if we were lame, broken in sin, limping through life, God would give his only begotten son for us, and his son would give his last, most of all, his life, just like that child, to prove we were worthy of him. As we close this year, let's look at others' true value, true worth. Because as mentioned in the quote, no matter how much self-improvement we do, nothing can make up for the lack of self-acceptance from Christ. If you don't accept Christ's value of you, like the little boy to the puppy, Satan has truly defeated you. That moves us into our subject today, embracing our new creation. 2020 is coming to an end, and for many there are celebrating and shouting for joy. And for others, it has been a year of major loss, with the pandemic causing job losses, family disenfranchised, people transitioning to God, and more. It appears that making a New Year resolution would be hard to do. Finding a way to embrace your new creation, the word talks about what seemed hard to accomplish. Considering what many have had to endure this year. However, I would suggest we don't have to make a New Year resolution. Why? Because Jesus is the solution. As we saw in my opening scripture, the word tells us that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, but the new has come. This is true for us as this year ends, as individuals, families, a community, cities, states, and countries, and even the world. See, the scripture tells us in John 16:33, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have come to overcome the world. Therefore, being a new creation in Christ, we should all be aware that this is a spiritual change, requiring us to be transformed psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, in our new development. For when we get saved, we're being babes in Christ. We must move toward spiritual maturity, new creation, with the expectation of transformation to become men and women of God. You see, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man or a woman, I put away childish things. Through this year, I believe part of my assignment on this program was to move some of us from our childlike status in our walk to our adult position for our assignment. One of the challenges I found within my own walk was trying to understand how to move towards spiritual maturity while I'm on this journey. Thus, I believe one of the objectives of my assignment was to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word through the guidance of what I believe the Holy Spirit has been given me to share. I attempted to make sure my message was scripture-based in order that I would give us a visual, comprehensible, and applicable principles for our spiritual growth. I understood this because the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 say, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped. I want to go back over that again. All scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. The words that we read every day were given through the Spirit unto man for us to be profitable for the doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. Now, see, I address many subjects that range from developing oneself in Christ, communication of the heart, moving by faith and not by being governed by sight, developing authentic relationships with self, God, and others by being transformed by the renewal of our mind, our heart, and our spirit, building a house that the Holy Spirit God can live in, understanding God's meaning of love, and iron sharpening iron, and a host of other developmental subjects that would help us spiritually mature in order that we can embrace the new creation that God has allowed us to become. This is mainly because, for me personally, I love asking the question, what does it look like? And since I'm not a subject matter expert on every area, I need visuals, guidance, direction for how to become or develop into the man God intended me to be. For me, this starts with the Holy Spirit guidance through the scriptures, which he would illuminate to me in order to help me understand what God is trying to tell me through the scriptures. So this is beneficial for us all, because the scriptures is to help us to mature. These are not something we read like a novel or we take it in like we're looking at a movie. If we want to look at it that way, we have to look at it with the intent that is helping us to develop and mature, becoming a spiritual powerhouse to be able to go forward as a disciple and share the gospel of Christ. Thus, as we begin, thus we can begin by embracing this new creation from God. For we must develop and mature spiritually in Christ. Case in point. When a child is born, it will go through various developmental stages according to the theories of human development. This will range from mental, emotional, and physical development. And likened of a parent who has a newborn, like us, born again, one must help the child embrace these changes, or as the old school teachers would say, these growing pains. This lifespan development are pretty general, but it gets the point across because as we associate them with the spiritual development, we can see that no one becomes spiritual adults overnight. We all will display some of these characteristics in our spiritual lifespan development. Now, according to one theory of the lifespan development, it covers these areas: the prenatal development, the infancy or toddler development, the early childhood, the middle childhood development, adolescent, early adult, middle adult, and late adult, or we would call the mature adult. So let's see if we can use the comparison to better understand our spiritual development. Because as I said, I like to get a visual. I like to have something that I can associate with that gives me some kind of better understanding of what my primary objective is as I begin to walk and mature in this walk with Christ. The prenatal development. Here's where people are standing in the gap for us. They're praying, believing, they're hoping, and expecting that those they love and care for will become born again. That the child will be born healthy in the maturity of Christ. Just like the wise who expected the birth of Jesus, we are expecting the birth of our loved ones and friends and associates to become born again in the spirit field. Because as they move forward in their life, having this foundation, they're on their way to that spiritual maturity. Just like when a child is born and that child now begins to move through their life, you're giving them this knowledge and this information to help them to one day be able to walk on their own as adults. So is the case in our spiritual maturity. Then there's the infancy. So here's where we are all excited about God's word. Our new system of the Holy Spirit is operating, but now we got to get rid of that mess of the soul, which is that carnal mind, our selfish will, and our self-seeking emotions, which needs to get put in check. Even though we are pumped up, we need that special attention from our mature teachers that will hopefully help us as we're under their teaching to help us stop spreading that mess all over the place. We need that guidance. We need that knowledge of the wise ones, the prophets, the teachers, the bishops, the archbishops, all those who are teachers, who are developers, who are disciples, who develop through discipleship to prepare us to move forward, just like a parent is giving the nourishment to the child. Right then, that is the milk. They are preparing them someday to be able to take on the meat, the deep stuff, I like to call it, a life. During this time, we begin to see ourselves displaying some of the intellectual, social, and emotional changes that allows us to talk with others about God, but at a risk because we still may not be spiritually mature to grasp and share the depth or the deep message of God's word. Thus, we just have to be careful of who we are talking to, because our eagerness could cause more harm than good. But nevertheless, we need to tell somebody about somebody who can save anybody. Why I know this? Because God saved you and me. And it's important that we understand this, because when people get saved, and I know this, I know this clearly because I was pumped up, fired up. And again, the first thing I started doing is going out there telling everybody. As a matter of fact, the gentleman that got me saved, the gentleman that introduced me to salvation, but I kind of blew him off. I remember how I pumped up, and I saw him at his brother's home going, and he told me, he said, "Man, I was just so excited. I don't remember to tell you about that, but I was so excited about God. I just wanted everybody to be saved." Well, when I got saved, that was the same way I felt. And I was so pumped up, I was ready to go straight out there and start witnessing. And that's what I did. And my first ideal of assignment, I thought, was to get in the streets hit the streets where I was always hanging out. And, man, I could tell the spirit was, as they say, you know, God take care of fools and babies. I sure was a fool because I was a babe in this. But I was trying. I was giving my bestest, as they say. But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. So now we're going to pass the early childhood, middle childhood, and I want to move into the early adulthood. This is where the real challenges come. This is where it came for me, the real challenge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it was more than just being in the race. It was hard to stay in the race, to really embrace and maintain this level of new creation God had given me. Why? Because we begin to become independent from our parents, in this case, God. We think that we can take care of ourselves, that we're accountable and responsible to the decisions that we make. But I heard our image is in a world of spiritual adults. We think we know. We hear the pastor, I know that. We hear somebody passing us some wisdom, I know that. We hear somebody trying to, no, that ain't what the word say, because now we become challenging. We become comfortable. We become so relaxed in our mindset, believing that we know exactly all about the word of God. And my chaplain said something that was really deep. He said that that he became unconsciously competent as he was moving through his ministry as the pastor, and God had asked him to relinquish his position over the church because his wife had brain cancer, and he to quit to be able to take care of his wife. And he questioned God, well, what do you mean? How am I going to take care of it? I won't have the finances. I won't have the means to do what I need to do. And because he was so comfortable and felt so confident in being able to just go to the church, deliver a message at any given time, be able to show up and pray for people any given time, he had believed that he had become totally responsible for himself. Well, he realized God showed him through the Holy Spirit and the Scripture, that he needed to get back to dependent on God. People see that when you have been saved 5 to 10 years, you are expected to think, act, and be just like the mature spiritual adults in Christ. In addition, you know enough to share, but you don't know enough to repair. So you find yourself, again, the early stages, spreading mess. But as again, I like to say, I want to look at what this looks like in a visual. So let's take the life of Peter. We know that Peter appeared to display these various stages as he embraced his new creation in Christ. In the earlier stages of Christ, the Jews were taught to believe for the Messiah to come. But as it was told, they expected someone like David, Moses, and Abraham, even John the Baptist, of this arriving Messiah who would save the people. They're special, them being the special people. Thus, I would have to believe that someone was praying and standing in the gap for others to receive the new coming king, prenatal state. Yet when Jesus arrived, he wasn't what they expected. Yet out of the 12 close disciples that stood, Peter, smelling of fish, uncouth, uncultured, impulsive, impetuous, basically like a newborn or just not developed, on the outside he is developing physically, but on the inside he has some characteristic flaws that as he embraced his newness in Christ, becoming born again is where the work of Christ began. See, Jesus saw his challenges, his weakness, his character flaws, as I mentioned. Jesus understood this. But Jesus understood, just like a parent, what it would require to take that uncouth, that one that's smelly, that uncultivated, that impetuous human being, and move him to another direction, known as that spiritual maturity, to be a disciple of Christ, to go out and share the good news. We note that Peter, like a toddler at first, he's fishing part-time and hanging with Jesus fishing part-time and hanging with Jesus part-time instead of full-time. That's how we do as we're moving by development. 1 minute we on fire for God, we doing all the right things, and I can say that in my earlier phase, as I talked about, I was up, fired up, and ready to go out and do my thing. But oh, when life distractions show up, and see, it's gonna show up. He showed up in the wilderness with Jesus. Oh, Satan will show up and bring you distractions. He will offer you the world. He will offer you a power. He will offer you authority. He will offer you whatever it is that appeases and meets your desires and wants. Not God's will, your desires and wants. But all down the road, you will recognize that wants and desires at some point will bring about pain and suffering if they're not in line with God's will. But Jesus understood this. And so it's easy to get diverted and ride on that part-time working phase, if you will. I'll do it part-time. We know what to say, as I said earlier. We know what to say when we're in the right crowd with the right people. We know how to walk. We know how to talk. My pastor would say, first, because we're part-time. Because we want to look good before man, but we don't want to act good before God. But we're part-time. Yet, Peter, asking a lot of questions to this point in the early days, when he came to Jesus along, told him to thrust out the little line into the sea or his net. And Simon Peter being, I know what I know, thinking himself, Master, we have told all night, ask nothing. This is out of Luke 5, 4 and 5. Basically questioning, what do you know, a carpenter, know about our trade? See, we get so in the word, we get to study in the word, memorizing the word, or it becomes second nature. Again, as the chaplain would say, that unconsciously, being unconsciously competent. Oh, we cool with it. We got this word. We got this, God. I got this. But see, when the waves come, oh, that's when you find out what you're made of. That's when you find out how mature you are. But Peter being who he is, he say, he thought to himself, if we haven't caught anything during that night, we aren't likely to catch anything in the daylight. Here, Peter is wavering between doubt and faith, like babies tossing back and forth, teeter-tottering, not always so stable. It's better that we be cold or hot than to be lukewarm. But that's what we are in our early phases. And again, because we're in this phase, sometimes people will look at us, and again, because you've been in it 5 to 10 years, you may have been in it, but it hasn't been in you. It hasn't developed and matured inside of you. On the outside, you look fine. As the doctor told me one time, well, Dave, you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you got some challenges. And that's what it is. That's what it is. It's challenges. Maturing is challenging. I go back to the old school, say, those growing pains, oh, you feel it, but it don't break you down. It don't break you down, stop you from moving, because you're developing, maturing. Yet Peter stated, nevertheless, thy word I will let down the net. When he let down the net and he caught so many fish, that net broke. Yet at that point, Peter was amazed by the miracle. And when Jesus called Simon Peter to follow him, Peter responded immediately. Usually that's what it is. See, our faith hasn't even matured. It's kind of teeter-tottering. Oh, but some Jesus understood some people would require they had to see before they can believe. It'd be better if we could believe without seeing. That's what faith is. Faith is a substance. Hope for and the evidence of things not seen. As my dynamic young lady say on Monday, it's that now faith. But we have to mature to that. I don't care if you've been walking chronologically in numbers 5 to 10 years. Your maturity may not be there. You know, they say when young people get out of high school today, they still have a 6th grade education. What happened to the other 6 levels? And then if you see people who never go to college or advance themselves, they remain at that academic level pretty much the rest of their life. So we have expectations of people because they're 30 and 40 to conduct themselves in certain ways, to be able to exercise behaviors and attitudes and a belief that can move them into the positive direction that God wants them to be. But again, if one hasn't developed from the inside, then the outside will eventually reflect the developmental phase that you're in. So you see, we have to learn that like Peter, we have to learn to move, not just to respond immediately to follow Christ. In order to embrace the newness that he gave us, we have to be willing to mature in Christ. You see, Peter began progressing through his spiritual maturity, and he would talk sometimes when he shouldn't. He would sleep when he needed to be awake. He would erupt into violent tempers where he will be hot or cold. And again, it'd be better he'd be hot or cold than lukewarm, almost in the same breath, because he's lukewarm. He would dare to walk on water that began to sink and cry like a young child for help. He would even make a confession inspired by the Father and then rebuke Jesus with the mark that reek of Satan. Samuel would tell Jesus he would never let him touch his feet, yet within the moment he would ask him to wash him all over. See how we are as we mature. He boasts that he would never deny Jesus, and he would even die for him, die for him. What are you willing to die for? See, it's easier to say it. See, spiritual maturity, you don't even have to say it. You just step up to the plate. When I'm with my soldiers and we were on our missions in Iraq and Afghanistan and the Kuwait, I didn't have to ask my soldier, would you die for me? I didn't have to think about, would he or she die for me? I didn't have to hear them say they would die for me, because I know they would. Because we had that 360-degree coverage. We had that faith in each other. Train as we fight and fight as we train. That's what we're supposed to do in Christ. Train as we fight and fight as we train. That's what Jesus did. So when Satan came to him in the wilderness, see, he was already trained up from the time he was 13. So when Satan showed up, he hit him with what he had. He didn't hit him with the carnal weaponry, he hit him with the spiritual weaponry because he was mature, and he hit him how he trained. It is written. It is written. It is written. Then he told him, behind me, with authority. You see, but we have to mature to that level. Then Peter would even boast in the hour and declared he would take an oath that he would stand by Jesus. But when it was time to step up to the plate, he acted like he didn't even know. We can see that if we had time to discuss, we can make a sermon out of Peter's developmental stages. But I want us to recognize as we move forward about this spiritual maturity, this developmental phase that we go through, that we must understand this takes time. And embracing this newness as we move forward, it requires for us to take the time to meditate on God's word, to take the time to understand God's word. See, this is what we understand as we move forward our spiritual maturity, that God's word is not a right or wrong. It's about understanding. Because when you get understanding, you're going to be right. You're going to be right because the understanding that you have is given through the Holy Spirit to allow you to take God's word and present it in the way that God intended it to be. You won't be spreading the mess. You won't be flip-flopping back and forth. You won't be getting yourself in situations or conditions that cause you to compromise your stand, even unto death. And so when Satan brings his deception, when Satan brings his distraction, when Satan brings all that he can in his weapon to warfare against you, you know that your weapons of warfare with authority is not carnal but mighty through God. That you can bring into captivity imaginations and thought to the obedience of Christ. But this takes time. And what this is all about, as we move forward into the new year, as we move forward into the new year, we want to move forward in this new creation with new authority. We want to have that power, that dunamis power, that impact power that brings about a change, because we are change agents. You know, they used to have a song called Secret Agent. Well, we ain't no secret. It ain't no secret no more, because we're not a change of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed. And see, here's the part too. As you mature in Christ, you're like Jesus when the woman was caught in adultery. And so you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the spiritual leaders who were pseudo They look good on the surface, and they were quick to judge, to criticize, but not to understand. But see, Jesus had understanding. And as old saying, ain't understanding mellow. Jesus had understanding. He had so much understanding that he went to his knee and he began to write in the ground. And he said to those who were judging with criticism, instead of being one who would give constructive redirection, they wanted to give constructive criticism. See, when you give constructive redirection, which you're going to see in a minute, when you give constructive redirection, you set the person on the path they need to go. When you give constructive criticism, they get in defense mode. And they ain't hearing nothing you said. And he has to have ears to hear. So as Jesus began to do his thing, he looked up and asked him, well, if you be with any of y'all be without sin, throw the first stone. Why y'all talking to me? Why y'all even having this conversation with me? Because y'all don't believe in me anyway. Now, obviously, this is David talking. But I can see that's basically where they were at. Because Jesus could see where they were. He saw the heart of man. He understood the heart of man. He understood their thoughts was not of no good thing. And then as the time went on, we don't know how long the lapping time was, but at the end of the time, when he rose up, he looked and he asked the young lady, where is thy accuser? Because, see, Jesus had understanding of what was going on with the young lady. Now, Jesus did not go after the category, which, man, see, when you're spiritually mature, you're not entertaining category, because all sin is, Jesus, the word said, that all sin is filthy rag, and all have sinned and fall short of glory. None can boast that he or she was out sin. But Jesus looked up and he said, where's thy accusers? Where's thy condemners? Well, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, Jesus understood how to put her on her path. Because we're on a journey, people. We, whatever our lifespan may be, as God rewards us with the breath and strength for a day, to move forward, we're on a path. And Jesus understood that. That's why understanding is mellow. The young lady didn't get defensive. The lady won't follow. See, because he touched her heart. He understood the heart. He didn't care about the behavior. He knew the behavior was what Satan had already done in the beginning in the garden. But he wanted to touch the heart. Change the heart, you change the person. The person is open to receive, but our spiritual maturity teaches us that we got to get there. We got to get there. And so it's important that we move in this direction to mature. So as we go forward, what I want to do is we're going to talk more about Peter as he moves through his adulthood to spiritual maturity so he can become who God intended him to be. In order that the disciple would become able to embrace, if you will, the new life in Christ and become the rock for which Jesus' word stands on. So in Matthew 16:18, he said, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you see, next week, what I want to do is I'm going to give you 14 attributes that we can use as we move, and we actually will be in, glory to God, we will be in the new year of 2021. And yes, 2020 has some challenges. And I've heard many theories about what is happening, what God is doing, and on and on and on. I don't know. My spiritual maturity is not that heavy to be able to say directly what God is doing. I have to go to the Word and let the Holy Spirit guide me. But what I do know, he is doing. Every day, he's changing us. Every day, he's developing us. Every day, he's loving us. Every day, he's teaching us. Every day, he's guiding us. Every day, he's preparing us. Every day, he's changing our attitude. Every day, he's preparing us for our assignment. Because when the time of reckoning comes, just like with Jesus, in those latter years, when Jesus went to go spread the gospel, because now he was prepared, he was spiritually mature to take on all the opposition that was going to come. not just from the enemy, if you will, even for the people in his own hometown. You need to be spiritually mature. This is why we flip-flop everywhere. As Tiny Witherspoon would say, flip-flop all over the place. Flip-flopping everywhere. We need to be able to be stable till when we do all that we needed to do, we can stand. We can stand. So it's essential that we begin to understand the importance of this new life that we've been given, this new creation. And as I explained next week, the attributes of this new creation, it will help us to move forward in 2021 with a mightiness we never had before, if we stay consistent. I was talking to a young man the other day, and I said that everything else is great. Education, being financially blessed, being healthy, being strong, walking in Christ. But if we're not consistent, it's all for naught. It's all fleeting. It's that continuity in whatever one does that moves us towards that success. It's like in the wilderness. When you enter the wilderness, and you're trying to get out of it, you got to stay consistent walking in the direction that's going to get you through it to get to the other side. When you get like the Israelites, you get caught in the wilderness, you may not get out. But if you're consistently following God, now, again, I also tell people, I'm not sinless, but I'm loyal. I'm loyal to the core. That I can say. I can say since I was a child. My mother can confirm for me as well. She said, you haven't changed in your loyalty, sometimes to my default. But that's okay, because it's that consistency that makes that change. Whatever we do, if you want a college degree, you got to stay consistent. You know, many people go to college and drop out. I got a young man who's a friend of mine, a nephew. And both nephews went to college with so much potential. The young man that just went, the brother could play sax like John Coltrane, like Cannonball Adderley. I mean, he is bad, and already he ready to quit. See, so he can't stay consistent. My son, who's autistic, my son is consistently trucking along. Not because he's my son, because one thing about him, he is consistent. If he with you, he with you. If he ain't with you, you out. It don't matter. I've watched him let go of people he called friend and actually stood up for and stood up against me for. But when they wasn't consistently falling in line, wasn't consistently trying to mature, wasn't consistently trying to walk with Christ, he cut them loose. I didn't have that. I was a people pleaser. So I couldn't cut nobody loose. I think what we're doing, I try to manipulate around it, get around it, so I can still have them in my life, because I don't want to be unloyal to them. But my son, he's true to the core. That continuity. My 37 years in the military, a soldier came to me when I was a kid, and he told me, don't you never get out the military. Don't you never get out the military. I never forget. His name was Gallagher. As long as I live, I'll never forget that man. He said, don't you never get out of the military. And I said, okay. So 37 years later, I was still standing. And in my military career, I never had a reprimand. I had someone attempt to reprimand me. And in the end, I didn't even know Christ like this. But in the end, God took care of me in that. And not only did I move from the position when someone tried to hurt me, and I don't call him my enemy, just someone like maturity, he tried to hurt me. God used it to my advantage to come on me. So I know continuity is important. So we're going to learn how to walk with these 14 attributes of being new creation in Christ next week. So let me move on to the second part of the show, which is soldier's perspective. Feeling brand new is not a feeling, but faith in motion. As we're discussing embracing our newness in Christ, it can be an amazing feeling that moves us, motivates towards change. But we can't govern our new creation in Christ by our feelings of the newness, because all things that are new, novelty soon wear off. Consider the average young man in his car. When he first gets it, he's washing it, he's polishing it, he's keeping it so clean. It's so clean he can eat French fries as he drop them on the floor. However, Soon that cotton come in, that insurance bill come in, he got to go out here and work overtime, triple time, and beyond that, pay these bills or repairs. As Gladys Knight said, stay overtime for me. He ain't even got time to see his girl. Because all of a sudden now, as he had that car wow, things begin to change. He don't wash it anymore. He got McDonald's bags everywhere. He got chicken bones in the ashtray, pizza boxes, beer cans all over the place. The novelty of the newness is gone. And as B.B. King would say, the thrill is gone. If not careful, the thrill will be gone forever. And that's how it happens to us when we allow feelings that govern our walk in faith. Feelings that govern our trust in God. See, because you're up today and you're down tomorrow. Feelings are fickle. They flip-flop all over the place. They're like a fish out of water. Flipping all over the place. They have a place. But we got to be able to do the check and balance. Because, see, if we take this newness in Christ, we're supposed to be able to obtain our faith. What is that faith about? That full assurance in the heavens. As the scripture tells us in Hebrews 10:35, we must not cast away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. It's our faith that allows us to receive our salvation and all God's guidance, comfort, protection, provision, and reward. This week, people, let your faith be your insurance and not what matters or what happens to you as you walk through this life in the newness of Christ. Because every day, God's word stands true. He will never leave you or forsake you. So now, again, as we're closing to the end of the season, the year, if you will, let us recognize how important it is for to accept this thing they call salvation, to accept this newness we call this new creation in Christ. It is definitely a change, and people must recognize that this change is not an easy walk. Matter of fact, it would appear to me when I made a conscious quality decision that I was going to be like Michael Jackson, so make that change, it became tougher. When I was flip-flopping all over the place, it seemed like an easy ride. But when I made a sound decision that I was going to try to walk in line with God's will to the best of my ability, but yet in Christ I would be strong in his sufficiency and sufficiency, then things got tough. People drop off. No matter what truth I lay out, they drop off. They don't want to hang with you no more. They don't want to talk to you no more. They ain't got time. They don't want to read what's right no more. They don't want nothing to do with you no more. But it's okay. It's okay because the peace that I have surpasses all human understanding. The joy that I have is unspeakable. It is amazing. I'm working on a book and been talking with people about my daughter. Let me just share this. My daughter was 13 ounces when she was born. My daughter that had so many surgeries, I forgot how many she had. My daughter presently is in the hospital now. My daughter got bossed up by many doctors. And again, I hold no ill will against her because that's man. But yet, through all the pain, the suffering, the agony, she has unspeakable joy. And why do I call it that unspeakable joy? Because she can't talk. She makes sounds. Everything that we take for granted, the ability to get up and walk, the ability to eat on your own, the ability to be able to go to the restroom on your own, to be able to put on clothes at will, to be able to get a boyfriend, to get a husband, to be able to enjoy life as God intended to be, that is not her life. But yet, when they took the tube out of her throat, she had that smile. And I've sent many people that smile, that infectious smile that she had. And she will laugh, unspeakable joy. So it's amazing what God can do. And I believe and contributed to the fact that I personally believe she is saved and born again. And that she know God. Because let me say out, when I say she couldn't talk, she can't talk like you and I. But these are the only two, well, actually, yeah, three words that she can say. Good God and oh God. That's amazing. And with a smile. No matter what, she is smiling and enjoying life to the fullest. Now, I would like any parent, and a mom would too, that she would be whole for the visual of what human beings call whole. She would be complete, wanting nothing, and be able to do what we do. But she has taught me more than any human being that I've encountered. If one was to look up and say they had a sinless human being in their life based on behavior, I was supposed to get that, and her mom as well. But we know we're born in sin. But to watch this human being be able to mature through her life physically and be able to every day have joy, unspeakable joy, there's a question mark to what we value ourselves. The only joy that she has that we can see a physical outside of us and talking to her and playing with her and laughing with her is these toys, musical toys. She loves music. Well, that's because me and her mother both sing. I will contribute that. But she loved music. And from the time she was born, she wasn't big enough to even consume my hand. I've been singing to her. And she loves the sound of music. We play the music of different gospel music and songs, and she got certain ones she likes, and oh, she get excited. She has unspeakable joy. And I believe it comes from the salvation of accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Personal belief that you accept Christ into your heart because God raised him from the dead. And when you believe this, you can be saved. Therefore, I want anyone who's under the sound of my voice, may be new, who've never confessed these words, say with me, I confess Jesus, you are Lord. I make you Lord over my life right now. I believe that you raised, that God raised you from the dead, and I renounce my past life to Satan and close the door. Old things passed away. All things become new. Any of his devices. I thank you for your forgiving me of my sins, and I believe and accept you. Jesus is my Lord. I am a new creation. All things passed away. All things become new in Jesus Christ. Amen. Simple prayer, but it's just the door for you to prepare. Because now you move forward on this pace. It's preparation. It's getting the right attitude. It's getting the right commitment, and it's beginning to expect and execute that which you are learning to move towards that spiritual maturity in your salvation. For the word tells us that he will give us long life and show us his salvation so that we may go forward and declare the works of the Lord. So therefore we won't die. We multiply. We multiply that the world will be able to hear all over the world God's good news, because I will tell you, this is good news in Christ. So again, I'd like to thank you as we close this year out for listening to me. Actually, this is my 74th show. Next week will be my 75th, which will be the first of the year. I am honored for those who have taken the time to give me an opportunity. As I say to people when I send my messages out by phone, or text, if you will, I say to them, thank you for letting me share. Because it gives me an opportunity to do what part of my assignment is, which is to go out and share the gospel of Christ and be not ashamed. Because all I know is that nothing will matter but what I did for Christ. All the things I've accomplished, and I've accomplished a lot, for poor boy, as I say, from Louisiana by way of Detroit. But at the end of the day, none of that matters. But what I do for Christ from this day going forward is what's going to count. And I want to be able to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my son after my own heart. I want to hear that I've done well. I personally, I heard people say they want their crowns and jewels and all that. I always joke and say, I'd be cool with it just being the sweet sweeper on the streets of gold. I'd be cool with it. Because then I'll get to hear the singing of the angels. I'll get to experience people, as a man say, see me in or me, growing with my new robe on. Stop by the crystal river to make my weak bones strong. And great, and he says that the drink from a fountain that will never run dry. And God will wipe all the tears from my eye. I want to make it. And I've made up in my mind I'm going to make it. I hope you do the same as you close this year out. And don't forget to check out Kingdom Builders Development Institute at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. If you want to contact us by the home office, that number is 313-583-9739. And if you want to sow into the ministry as the Spirit leads, please email, but you can go to www.giveify.com, which is www.giveify.com. This has been an honorable year for me. I'd like to thank Pastor Prophet Teresa and Elder QT for allowing the Holy Spirit to lead them to help all of us get a chance to share the gospel. As I hear new individuals coming on and their dynamic presentations, God is moving. We are all becoming changes, and that's because of good leadership. Leadership doesn't mind allowing themselves to be extended. I used to say as a soldier, if I go away and the mission can't go on without me, I'm not leading too well. See, this is what they're doing. They're developing leaders to go out into the world, just like Jesus developed his disciples, to go out into the world and share the good news of God so that more can be saved and reap the benefits that God gives. But the greatest of all is to be one day be in that kingdom, celebrating Jesus and the Holy Spirit. As they create us in their image, we'll get to see that image in the glory of them. I'd like to thank you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Happy New Year. Celebrate. Rejoice in the year that God has given us as it closes, and rejoice in the year God is going to give us as it opens. I thank God. I thank you. God bless you. Remember, pray for me as I pray for you, and let's see what God is going to do. Have a blessed week.
Give us a new name, give us a crown.